Blog Talk Radio.
Only 30 minutes. Only on Sunday. Only 30 minutes.
Yo.
What's up? 404.
Man, it's going down, baby.
What's up, man?
What's really happening?
Hey, what about this scare in Hawaii, man? Was you up on that?
Yeah. I found it to be interesting.
Somebody made a mistake. Somebody made a mistake when they did the handoff between shifts. That was the problem. You heard me, Roy?
Yeah, I think there wasn't a problem. I think there has been no problem. I think the world is at a point where we need to have drills. At least they ran a drill, call it a mock drill, call it a human error. And in actuality, they saw the flaws, and we need to find the flaws because this could be us. And so I think that it's a good open eye opener to what we're up against around the world. Because it's not just North Korea I'm worried about. I'm worried about China and Russia. And I'm worried about those areas because we're looking at a small player and they're monopolizing around the world. So anytime they feel like they want to come get us, hey, with the way our establishment and our government is right now, they wouldn't know what to do if it happened. So chaos, mishaps, misfortune, misdirection, I think that all applies to life. And I think that's just one of those characterizations that had to happen because if your country was one of the closer countries to what could be wiped out of the first face of the earth, you'd be concerned too. And if you have a president that is not in your best interest, because you are people of color. Don't forget, Hawaii is a people of color. I would run the drills too. So look at South Korea and North Korea. They said that we had a nut in the White House. We can negotiate our own without them. Well, if they continue to negotiate without us, we will be no need to be there. And South Korea has been wanting to find a way to get us out of there anyway. Hey, man, look, if the South Asian Pacific connect, then we're talking about a place that's unrested for the United States because the alliance between the Asians could be a whole lot stronger between our alliances that Donald Trump is continuously eroding as he talks every day. He's even eroding the fabric of America, let alone the fabric in that made us who we are outside America. So yes, that emergency over there that was considered a fluke could be really something to give great thought about. So yeah, that's how I feel on that issue right there. And that's ATL coming out at you, Zeta.
So you saying that this was a planned button release, a planned person saying, well, act like there's a missile coming at them, see what they're going to do.
I'm saying, Gita, what I'm saying is that there's no consequences now for our democracy. The bigger picture is there's no consequences. You can do things and get away. It's no more dog whistling now. I'm shouting it out at you. I'm telling you, There's no more of that gray area, that gray matter. Excuse me, I made a smelling. I'm farting everywhere, man. I'm trying to get it out of my intestine.
Hey, I got another question. What did you feel about Trump saying, allegedly, in the meeting that all brown and black countries are shithole places? Matter of fact, the preacher on Joy today, he cussed. He said when Donald Trump said the S-hole word, he said shit.
Well, I'm going to tell you something about all that. Donald Trump has not changed the stripes on his back. Look at all the lawsuits, the discrimination suits he got in New York. Look at all the lawsuits he got. And look at all the women that are coming out saying this guy is not a man that has control. He has a lack of control. And that's what people are saying. There's a lack of control. There's no reprisal for his actions. There's no reprisal for anything. He gets away with whatever he wants to get away with. So, I'm not surprised, shall I say. I'm not surprised. Now, Monday morning when I wake up, I'm going to be surprised. You know why? Because whenever he drops a bombshell, there's something leading up to that. Whenever he catches our attention, I've even figured this one out. Come on now. You're going to have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. He's a deflector, he's a distractor, and he's been good at it. And that's why people don't like him, because he's the best con man that they ain't seen since the Flim Flam man. So, I think that's just, you know, it is what it is for what it is, for what weight it carries right now. Some people say, you know, I'm in the pool swimming, and a lady says to me, it's just three more years. I said, okay. It's just three more years, yeah.
So, you think, let's put it this way. Do you think it's all right for the president? Well, I know what you're getting ready to say. But do you think it's all right for the president to be doing that? Alienating different nationalities in the country?
I think what happens is that we forget the psychosis that the president is in. He is being submerged by lawsuits. He's being pressured by a Russia probe. He is pressured on collusion when it ain't collusion, it's conspiracy and treason. And obstruction, and not just one form, but multiple layers of obstruction. He won't get up from up under the obstruction. So let's get real deep into the mindset of the man. The mindset of the man has been becoming more debilitating by the day. The old saying is pressure will bust a pipe, and it is true. This guy is at a point where the psychologists say that whenever he says something, and even in that book, Trump Nation, everything that Donald Trump talks about, it's a reflection of how he feels. So when he tells us, get rid of them, he's really saying, get rid of him. When Donald Trump says stuff that is inflamed, it's a reflection on how he feels about himself. Isolation. He's isolated. What gratifies him? A room full of naked women swinging from poles, pissing on him, singing whatever they sing when they welcome.
Allegedly.
Allegedly what?
Dossier.
The dossier. Hey, look, man,
yeah.
Look. The dossier is a real piece of paper that when Feinstein took a stand, if she really wanted to, I mean, she took a stand and just said, look here, Grassley, enough of this chaotic nonsense. Our democracy at stake, whatever cause, you know, it takes. See, what they don't understand is that our best agents are in the field right now. have always been in the field. And what Donald Trump did, he aligned our best agents with other worlds that have great agents too. And their agents are going to bring Donald Trump down because of his statement. He has opened up, not just he opened up a floodgate of information, because now the world wants him out of office because it's causing the world to be chaotic. And the world, the light, the beacon of light is now being fogged up by the shadow of doubt. So you understand where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah. I hear you, Roy.
Where, huh?
I said,
well,
I hear you.
Well, other worlds, if our world fall, their world crumbles. It is the trickle down effects, and it does apply to the smaller capitalistic society. So they don't want us to fall. We may come to some slight draw, but they don't want us. They don't want us to, and they don't want him to lead our world anymore. You know, so he's done a lot of stuff that tomorrow he can do. What worse? He's gonna say, "What, he got a bigger button to push?" What he gonna say? He gonna get over, come on radio and say, "Hey, how Hawaii was? That was the worst thing Hawaii could have ever done. It was spooked everybody." When he's the biggest spook in this world. So I'm just saying that what he gonna do something that's more egregious as he did. But can you get beyond calling the world a black and white world, where the predominantly population is black, and that the beginning of mankind civilization started in Africa? And that don't he get the fact that Jesus Christ was in Africa, the continent of Africa? Don't he get any of that? Or what, is he just blind to the fact? So I don't know what this guy is talking about now, you know? And on top of that, the Jews ought to be up in arms.
Yeah, he is blind to the fact. You repeated the line from Flavor Flav off of the him and Heavy D had a song, and he's like, "What, you blind to the fact? You blind to the fact?" Also, something else happened this week with the Martin Luther King thing. Your boy Ferris said that Donald Trump is not traditionally racist. You heard that, Roy?
You know why? Yeah, you know why he said that, right? You know why he said that, right?
So he looked good while he's up there when he was signing the deal.
Then, you know, what does that say? I mean, come on, let's be honest with ourselves. Okay, let's just break the rule of silence now. He's not a traditional black man. And Donald Trump is not a traditional racist, right? So that means there's two fools telling each other, "I love you," even though they don't love each other. So the inner pool is this evil that these two bring because they lie so much. And Ferris, out of all that he could have done, if he knew that the remainder of the family said no, and he said, "Well, I got to get it done for my uncle who died," because I'm assuming that's what they did. I mean, I could care less about a federal holiday to be signed off on by a racist. That's like George Wallace going up there to the funeral of those four girls in Alabama that got blown apart, and he was a part of the initiation. That's why it hurt me so bad when a black man forgave George Wallace at a church after all that devastation he did against the federal government. So when you get that kind of nastiness, and this guy is, George Wallace was not a rich man. This is a very wealthy, beyond wealthy man. He's used to having it in his way. George Wallace is a mere look at. He's what we call a snapshot. George Wallace was a snapshot. Donald Trump is not the snapshot. Donald Trump, excuse my friend, is the real shit. He's a billionaire. He has more money than anybody on a normal level has. So we got to look at him on that level. So if you don't look at him on that level, Ferris, you don't look at Ferris on that level. But Ferris may have deeper rooted stuff inside of him, because Dexter and Bernice and some of the other ones, even though they were cousins, sometimes, you know, one wants to outshine the next. And who are they paying homage to? A dead man. So do they really care? I mean, look, if Dexter and Martin Luther King Jr. are, I think Bernice, the living one, is still alive, I believe if one of them was to come there on MLK holiday weekend and accept that from a racist, I mean, I would have been floored, but I'm still floored because it's a Ferris, which is a cousin, which is a nephew of the slain civil rights activist. They should have took that. He should have took it after he signed it and ripped it up and threw it and called Mr. President a racist as he is and walked off the show. They couldn't have did nothing. The country would have been a better country today if he had done that. We have to have a reprisal, and we as the people, are for the people and by the people, got to start making stands when you get a chance. They threw one of the representatives in the House threw a shoe at President Obama. I mean, George Bush. And they
George
threw
Bush.
Something. This,
W.
Huh?
I said George
yeah,
Bush.
But
W.
I'm just saying. Yeah, but I'm saying that they do these things that get your attention. Donald Trump's gotten our attention. This is like looking at the movie Dallas. You got to get to the TV. You want to see it. You want to see what this clown has done again and again and again and again. It's going to be ongoing. But this is not what we're built on. We're not built on demonstrating how ignorant one man can bring a country down, but how we take men that are powerful and we detain them and we bring them to a point where they understand that this is not about, yes, you made this wealth, but this is not about you. This authoritarian approach, which is brought on by some other billionaires as Mercer, you know, and the Koch brothers who are competing with who going to control the market and who going to control this, who going to control that. You know, and I surely don't want Oprah to jump in it, because billionaires, there's a place for billionaires. And then there's a place for politicians, people who go and they learn how to be the best politician they can be. You know what I mean?
So you learn.
Yes.
I disagree with you on that.
Let me say it now.
The only reason I disagree with Oprah is because I listened to Joy Reid this weekend, and she said a lot of popular presidents, they were popular, they didn't have no political experience. Like Barack Obama, he was he lost his first race. Then he told Michelle if he didn't win the next one, he was going to get out of politics. Well, he won the next one. He was a senator. And he was only a senator for a short time before the next thing you know, he did that speech at the Democratic convention and was a star because of that speech. And then he decided to run for president, and that rest is history. She also said Lincoln, who was a lawyer and decided to be a senator and got out the Senate and went back to his hometown to be a lawyer again, was in a debate with Douglas through those great debates they had. And he won the debates and he was a star. And the Republican Party decided to nominate him to run for office. So you don't have to be a political politician career-wise to actually become president of the United States.
Well, that's for sure. But at the same time, people were more honest. People had a country to protect. We was fighting no real wars around the world. We were fighting in-house wars. But at the same time, that's a point taken. I do understand that celebrities, celebrity status of The Apprentice is what got Donald Trump. I mean, we had heard about the real estate in Esquire. You know, you see him once in a while on Oprah or some other show because he was a magnate. He was a wealthy guy, young wealthy guy, and he was exposing himself. But at the same time, it was The Apprentice show that got him talking points around the world and here in the United States, because that's when I first, when I seen him get rid of some of the nasty mouth millionaires and thought that they were the, you know, the everything, I thought that was the greatest show. A billionaire who knows he's got everything can tell these little bitty guys to move. But then that it became contagion. You know, but the, my real reason for not wanting Oprah to basically run too as well is because there was a black woman, and she's a black congresswoman, and her name was Shirley Chisholm. First black woman ever ran for the presidency. I don't hear them embracing that power right there. That was in the 70s, that was powerful for me. And they didn't recognize her. They don't recognize Shirley Chisholm. And when they become more recognizable of Shirley Chisholm, I may become more recognizable of them and not their money.
One more thing. What do you think about your boy Lindsey Graham busting out Cotton and Purdue when they were in that meeting, and everybody was in the meeting the same time Donald Trump called the countries shitholes of countries? How come Cotton and Purdue didn't hear it, but your boy Lindsey Graham heard it? And the other Democrat, I forgot his name, they heard it also. So what does that tell you, Roy?
Well, it tells me that you have ism at different levels. You got ism of hope, you got ism of desire, and then you got priority ism. And what happened in that room, that ism of priority is what was overwhelming. Now, the principal good of all that, it showed something. It showed bipartisanship between Republican and a Democrat on their moral, obligation to the country. But at the same time, Lindsey Graham has been up and down. Now, from this morning, Cotton say he didn't hear that repetitiously, and he never said if he heard it. He just said he didn't hear it as repetitious as they said it was. Now that right there is an admission of guilt. But Cotton has been known to be the kind of ismatic bigot, you know, that you can
get.
Let me say,
Cotton is the original traitor. Him and I think 21 other senators. I forgot the number. But they wrote a letter to Iran when Obama was in, opposing that agreement between America and Iran, the deal that they
that
made.
Cotton
is one of the traitors that wrote and signed that letter.
And guess what? That's a form of treason.
Yeah, that's why they labeled them the 12 or 21 traitors. I forgot what the number was.
Yeah, and guess what? They're gonna be known in history for that failure. And you know that's the thing about what's going on here. This has been written in that one movie that came on shows called 24. They had the black president, the guy that runs off of Allstate. He leaves the office, a white guy comes in the office, and what happens then? The guy, white guy, does just what he's doing. He sold the country out. So what happens, they impeach him and bring a black president in to save the world. This has already been written. The thing about it is how it's ending, we don't know. We don't know how it's going to end as far as to get us out of this four-year rampage we're on. But I tell you, it has so much closeness, you know, that I said, my goodness, this is, I'm trying to figure out who is the co-writer to this book, because whoever wrote this book is on point. I mean, things are just falling in place. Things are just falling in place. And
so you saying America needs Jack Bauer, huh? Keith or something.
Hey, I just said this earlier. I said all our special agents are working on this. This has everything to do with a fallen nation. And we put our justice system in place so our nation would not fall. Now, it's up to them for us not to fall. And it's up to our First Amendment to keep us in contact with what is going on so we'll know the fall and the rise of America. See, we ain't going down without a fight, and we're going to know about it because we're going to be a part of it when it go down. That's the American fight. See, we're not standing around waiting on it to go down. We are picking up our arms to move forward. This is nothing to play with. This is very serious. Our kids, our grandkids, they don't know the fight that we're in. They'll read about it, and they'll be like, oh, my God, is that really what was happening? Oh, my God, I didn't know we were at the brink of all decay. But we were, and we are, and we're living it right now. And us that understand and got a take.
I got one more question. Since we got almost 3 minutes left, what do you think about all them black people that was up there signing the declaration for MLK Day, for the MLK monument and the historical parks down in Atlanta to be parks? That's what he signed. He signed for to be a national park. So
yeah, so it can get just, it, yeah.
So it can be safe.
I think,
in other words,
I think those niggas ought to be tarred and feathered. I think that this one writer wrote. He says, "I'm not a nigger." He said that. Why did you? If I'm a man, I am not a nigger. And he asked America as he talk to Reverend King, and he says to Reverend, he says, why did you create this? He's asking the white man, you created slavery, you created all this. It is now at a time for you to act like you're not the monster. You created the monster. You are the Frankenstein. So my question is, why did they create it and find the way to do away with it? And we can do away with it in the 21st century with a few signing of a few bills, because what he's done since he already opened up the bottle, the genie's out. Hey, so let us now address it all now about what Republicans are and Democrats, where they stand on race. And let's put it, let the chips fall where they may, and let's move this needle. Because right now the needle hasn't moved, and that man has done a lot of bad things. Let's find out where we stand on race right now with our democracy. Because if we stand and we haven't moved, then all that's been said, it's worthless. It's worthless. Like I said, you got to stand for something. You got to stand for something. And this right here is bad. It's bad, but guess what? As a people, we've survived. will survive this, but we won't know the mess that we'll have to survive.
Well, Roy, the deal is getting ready to go off. It's been 30 minutes. I thank you. Donna just hit me up, said she forgot. Also, Alicia probably forgot, too. She's probably in church still. Next week, we won't do it next week, but we'll do it the week after next. All right, sir?
Okay. All right. Well, look, all I need to say is that tell them ladies, send their money, send their donation to CARE.
Dude, I'm out of here. Thank you again, Roy.
I did.
Saying the first legitimate nigga word on the show. Thank you, Roy, for that. we'll be back in 2 weeks, baby.
Hey, I'll holler at you. He's out in the 21st century.